At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The leg kick was really there for Damon Jackson throughout the fight, and he just kept a lot of pressure on Hernandez.
I beat him, there ain't no 30-27. It was 29-28 me all the way.
Damon the Leech Jackson!
He increases the all-time UFC wins record.
I got the most finishes at lightweight. I would love to go up to 170, fight the guy with the most knockouts in UFC history.
Jim Aiton Miller!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Finally, the team is back.
Yes.
My friend, you were gone Wednesday, right? For you were in Austin, Texas.
Yes, I was. I was on JRE, the Joe Rogan Experience, with my buddy Dean Thomas and John Rollo.
Has that come out yet?
It is out. It's
That's
out
great.
Already. It is. You want to know what number it is on JRE?
What number, buddy?
Or else you could just type my name in, and then you'll know it that way.
Not what number, though.
I'll tell you right now what number it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's number 154. JRE MMA show with Matt Serra.
Oh, it's the MMA show. Oh, that's great.
And
yeah.
Dean Thomas and John Rollo. It keeps
yeah,
getting
yeah.
Better. Oh, yeah. We have fun. You know what? We did over 3 hours.
Yeah, fun. Joe likes a long show. That's of course it was fun. I'm really happy too. I saw the picture and you guys look like you had a great time.
I showed my abs on it.
Well, I'm glad, Matt. It wouldn't be a complete podcast or radio show or a UFC podcast without those abdomens, without those abdominals.
I'm not a braggart, but I used to be a fat man.
Well, you were a bigger man, a bit more squat, and you have muscled out.
I was round.
By the way, today, coming in just a couple of minutes, we have Damon Jackson with a really, really solid win over Alexander Hernandez, and Jim Miller, who is the only fighter, I think, to have been on UFC 100, 200, and now next weekend on 300. He's the second fight up against Bobby Green. And what a fight. That card, it's sickening how good that card is. It is every fight. It starts off with Figueiredo against Cody Garbrandt. It's the opening fight of the early prelims. Man, is this going to be a great, great night.
You know, I'm thinking because it's such a great card, if we have time, because we're going to talk about the main card for sure next episode. And I think maybe we should start later on with the early prelims, because like we said, it's
crazy.
It could be a main event.
Yeah.
That first early prelim.
100%. Yeah.
You know, so I like Cody Garbrandt. I like a good comeback story. It's not that he really fell off, but, you know, there's times he really shows signs of greatness, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he's young enough and he's with the right people. I think he can really make a comeback and figure out the right guy to make a statement with.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
That's
it's insane to me. And we can kind of spend, I guess, both episodes this week touching on, we can of course talk about, we're going to talk about the, the co-main with Damon, and also the main with Chris Curtis against fucking Brendan Allen, which was a great fight. I mean, that I love, even though Chris lost that fight, I love body punchers. It's just so awful to watch a guy getting hit in the body. It's just such a great when a guy is known for doing that, I always enjoy Chris's fight for that reason.
And I don't want to take anything away from Brendan Allen, because that was a dog fight.
Great fight.
When I say dog fight, stop barking. Ready?
Okay.
It was a dog fight. I knew you'd do something silly. That's why I said that.
Okay.
The softball. The layup. It was a little softball.
No, you're right.
Jimmy, you have one thumbs up, not two. Are you trying to tell me someone's in the waiting room?
Oh, he's been in the waiting room. Yeah, we can.
Damon Jackson. And it's his first time on the show.
And if you want to talk about the main, we might as well get him in and discuss. I'm sure he watched it.
I was going to say that who were we just talking about?
Chris Curtis and Brendan Allen. Yeah.
Chris Curtis, he did take that fight on, like, I believe, less than a month's notice. So
yeah.
I just want to say that.
There he is.
Damon Jackson. What a fight, bro. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And nice to meet you, man. This is your first time on the show.
Yeah. First time, yeah.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Damon. I talk a lot about the judging, and, like, look, man, I know judges are people, right? And they make – but there has to be some accountability, because what you guys do is so difficult. And for someone to have scored that – 30-27. Hey, they want to give him the 30, of course. First, even on a crazy thing, which I don't even think, but 30-27 is egregious, and I don't know how to make sense of that. How do you make sense of something like that when it happens?
Man, that's why it's so important to finish fights. You know, like, that's why, like, I go out there every time I'm looking for a finish, and I knew he was a tough opponent, and it was going to be tough to get the finish, but I wanted that finish because, you know, he's been in the game for a while. I've been in the game for a while. You don't know. These judges are fans too. Like, at the end of the day, like, they're fans of the sport. They wouldn't donate their time. It's like, these, like, there's no education there. There's no repercussion if they mess up. There's nothing there. It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Your nickname's the Leech, correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, second I heard that, and after watching this fight, it's simple to know. A stupid question would be why, because you're sucking the blood. Is that what it is? Because leeches suck the blood from you, that you're just, it's like you're sucking their energy force. Because once they think they're out, you're getting in on, like, singles, and you're locking your hands when you shouldn't even be able to around his butt. And that guy, and Hernandez doesn't look like an easy guy to get down, keep down. He's good in scrambles.
Yeah.
But shit, man, how did you get that nickname?
That from wrestling. So from college, my buddies, I was holding everybody down at practice one day, and I had this heavyweight. I basically went through the whole team, and I had the last person was a heavyweight, and I had to hold him down for 30 seconds to win. And I held him down for like 5 minutes, and he couldn't get me off his back. He was doing front flips and, like, doing all this crazy stuff, and I just kept his back. And my coach was like, "You're like a leech." And I had just started fighting at the time. And my buddies were like, "Oh, that's your new nickname, the Leech." So that was it stuck.
You had a couple of takedowns in the first and in the second, and he kind of, you know, I don't know what the position would be called. The way he was kind of wrapped around your back, it was the same thing in both rounds. What would you call that? Where it was hard for you to swing your leg around and grab his legs?
Yeah, I could not step over his legs because I didn't want to overextend my hips and let him sweep me. So I was basically trying to break his grip and step over his legs. I don't know what you call it, but it was definitely an awkward position because I knew that if I adjusted my grip, he was going to be able to hip ice and, like, work out of that position. And so I was kind of like, I was fighting. I was like, man, he's going to move eventually. I thought he was going to move, and he never did. So once I was finally ended up able to break his grip, it was, you know, I got to the position that, you know, I ended up getting mounted. It was good. It was he's tough, man. He's strong as hell. He had the extra 5 pounds too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up, and what was your first discipline? Was it wrestling? Your first discipline?
Yeah. I grew up in Oklahoma. My first discipline was wrestling. That's why I really started wrestling. In the seventh grade, I tried out for basketball, and I made the B team. And me and my buddy were like, "Hey, man, let's go try wrestling." And so we walked over to the, like, we had wrestling on one side, basketball on the other side. And so I tried basketball because I played that my whole childhood, and then I started wrestling in seventh grade. And once I saw the UFC, like all the good fighters had wrestling background. That's when I was like, I gotta stick with wrestling, you know.
When did you start striking?
Really not until like Leonard Garcia fight. So like probably my 10th pro fight in.
Wow. And your calf kicks were nice, man. Those, I love watching someone beat up legs, because that's such a painful thing. That's just something you picked up later after you had already started fighting?
I was just kind of like, fuck it. You know, like, no one's going to take me down. So I'll kick all day. Because, like, you know, if I'm kicking someone, the only thing they're going to be able to do is either step in and hit me, or they're going to step in and take me down. I'm like, okay, step in and take me down all day. Like, do it, you know. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being on my back. I've been doing jiu-jitsu since 2005, so I've been at it for a minute, and you know, I'm okay with being on my back.
I heard you're opening up a school. Is it an MMA school? Is it a jiu-jitsu school? What do we got there?
Yeah, I actually opened that up last June, so I've been almost a year.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
So we do everything. We do jiu-jitsu, wrestling, kickboxing, MMA, the whole thing.
So this is great. Now that's your job besides fighting.
I've been there all morning. Today I got back late last night, so we weren't open. And then I've been there all morning. And then I have a little bit of a gap now. Then I have classes tonight, and I'm back at it.
And it's a Fortis.
Yeah, no, Fortis in the Bay Lakeside. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Hold on. You have classes at Fortis, or you have classes?
It's like a Fortis franchise, right?
Yeah. I just opened up my own place, and I was like, man, like I was such a big part of this when we first started the Fortis Gym in Dallas. So it, you know, me and my coach have been together since the beginning. So it was just nice to kind of like pass that on and like open that up, and you know, to open my own place. And you know, I was honored to call it Fortis. You know,
oh, Safe Sayud, we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep.
That's great. Now listen. Hey, man, not only congratulations on your fight, but on your life. Wait, you're winning. Isn't it great? I just came from my school also, bro.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But it's such a great life, dude. This is it. This is it. When you retire from fighting, you'll be doing the same shit. You literally never have to work a day in your life.
Yeah. No, it's pretty awesome.
I don't know. It's not that it's not work, but, you know, you could be fucking laying bricks or something.
it cracks me up every time, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna show you guys a single, and we're gonna run the pipe, and I'm like, you guys are paying me to show you how to do a single, run the pipe. Like, you guys are coming in here like grinding, like you want me to punch you in the face, and it's like, it's funny every day. It just, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Well, you're a young guy too. I mean, I saw you're 31. So you 30 when you open that?
I'm 35.
You know why? It says have the it says 31 on this. Okay, 35 makes a little more sense. You're still not old. So you were 34 when you opened up your gym, which is really, really great, because you have another 5 or 6 years of fighting left. You're not going to be starting from scratch with a gym.
Exactly.
You're going to be already 4 or 5 years into it.
I'm about to open another gym. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm about to open another one.
Oh, so you have a good business sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's I had a landscaping business all the way through high school and college. And then in college, I sold that. And then I started doing basically freelance stuff with personal training, and really, really love that. That's really been my only big job outside of landscaping, is actually like training people. So I got my certification to train people in high school. And like, I've never touched my degree. I have a degree in exercise science, never once have ever used it. And, you know, like, gym life is the only life I know, really. And so opening my own place, it was definitely, it was learning experience, but I'm past all the hard stuff, and now I understand the whole thing. And I could open up 2 or 3 more of these in the next, you know, 2 years.
Well, coming from landscaping, I don't blame you. Let me tell you, when I was a kid, I went with my father's friend, Tony Russo. He had a business. Oh, we're going to do landscaping, man. Go make some money. We did a house, right? We went the getting shit out of the leaves. Finally, we're done. I'm in the truck. I'm like, dude, this is something. Thank God we're done. He goes, all right, we got 3 more before noon. I'm like, I go, oh, dude. Yeah. I go, no, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't. It's not. I knew it wasn't for me. So you know, listen, no wonder why we're opening up a couple schools. You know what it's like to fucking work.
Wait, what was what was your degree in, Damon? Sorry.
Exercise science.
What, and what is that?
You tell me. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I did a little bit of everything. I was a PE coach. I was I did special ed stuff. I did you know, game planning for weight loss, for meal plans, for meal prep. Like, I've literally done it all. And you know, like with the job wise, it's like people just want the basics, and they do really well with the basics. So if you can teach people how to build their own circuits and how to build their own workouts and how to live a healthy lifestyle, it passes on so far into their life. And it's not just that they don't pay for one course. They actually learn. So since I opened my gym, I've had probably over 15 different members that have lost 30 plus pounds. And it's like the coolest thing in the world to like see these people change their whole life. And they're addicted to jiu-jitsu. They're asking me questions. They're sending me videos and asking me, hey, what do you think about this? And it's funny to me, but you know, definitely this is kind of what I signed up for. I don't really know any other way around it. So the gym life is definitely my way to go.
And it must feel good to get the monkey off your back. I know what it's like to come back after a couple of losses, and especially fighting a tough guy like Anthony Hernandez.
Yeah.
As a guy to you know, to get back in the win column. Were you stressed going into that, knowing that it was Anthony? Or I'm sure you're confident.
No, you know, like, I knew he was tough, man. He's been tough for a long time. I know he was tough, but he hasn't evolved with the sport. He hasn't really changed up a whole lot. And when I got the matchup, I knew I was going to have to train hard, because I know his career hasn't went the best direction. I was coming off two losses, so I knew how important it was for me, and I knew it was going to be important for him. And, you know, just the whole scenario, it was just awesome, because I had a long gap. I was very motivated by him, and, you know, I had a great camp. Everything's going pretty good right now.
You know what else you got? I'm sorry, Jimmy.
No, that's
I was going to say, you got a nice head of hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, As a bald man, you know, I'm a little peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, nice. Man.
How did that happen? And it doesn't look like a transplant, not to let the cat out of the bag. I know you talked about
it. No, it is, 100%. I did it. And it's crazy, because it's like they just take the hair off the side of your head, and they take it off the back of your head, and they basically put it on top. So it's just misplaced hair. That's it.
Now, it looks good.
Has the ship? Because I could grow out my sides. Has the ship sailed? But Jimmy, I'm asking David.
Hey, I can hook you up with a free quote. If you hit up Nighttime Hair, they'll give you a free quote. And Turkey is the way to go. It's so beautiful there.
You know, Marab went to Turkey.
Yeah, he went to my place.
Man, really?
I went there. Yeah, I went there first, but he went to my doctor.
I could be like a movie. Imagine, Jimmy, imagine this. What a hair like Damon.
Hey, dude, everybody,
dreamy.
I've had thousands of people asking me. And I'm like, dude, it's one of those things where you don't really think about it until you think about it. And then once you think about it forever. And so whenever I would win a fight, and everybody would just talk smack about my hair. Or I would like do pretty good, and everybody'd be like, well, you know, blah, 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 you're bald. I'm like, bro, like, I just won the fight, like 10 seconds, like, you know, it's just, you know, it's nice to have for sure. But, you know, it cracks me up, because everybody makes such a big deal about it. And now it just feels so normal to me. And I don't wear a hat at all. So it's pretty cool.
And it is interesting. Come out, like, when you're rolling, it doesn't get ripped out. Like, what is your hair?
Well, that would suck. You'd want your money back if all of a sudden you get taken down and 300 hairs flew out.
It's like 10 days after you have the surgery, everything that they put in stays. So, like, after 10 days, after it heals up, you can wear a hat, you can do whatever you want. And workout-wise, it takes you about 3 to 4 weeks before you can really work out. But after that, they're set in stone. So it's crazy. It's like, it's real hair. It's just normal. Like, it's the side of your head. It's that hair. It's just, they put it on top. It's just so
doesn't
weird.
It fall out the first one, the initial one they put it? Doesn't that fall out and then it comes back in?
So the first month, it looks great. And then after a month, it falls out. And then after 6 months, it goes back.
Okay, yeah, that kind of just gets it. Paulo Costa did it. I love that guys talk about it because it's like this whole thing that men have where we're ashamed of what our hair looks like. That's our Achilles heel is the hair. And it's like I love that guys are talking about it and doing it.
For sure.
I kind of like being –
How many times have you seen some, you know, some girl in the gym that are you guys there?
Yes, sir. We're right here. We hear you.
So how many times have you seen a girl in the gym that's like completely flat, and then all of a sudden now she has boobs? It's like girls get boob jobs all the time. Like guys can get hair done, and it's like it's basically the equivalent or less. It's basically like you're using your natural stuff, so it's less. But it's like you know, I think that it just it's you know, at first it was such a big deal, like everybody wanted to keep it quiet, but now I tell everybody about it because I'm like, if I would have known about this, like if I would have known how successful it was gonna be, you know, 10 years ago, I would have done it when I was in my 20s. So for sure.
Yeah, I've never thought of it. I have loss up here too, but I don't care. Like I've always had my hair like this, and I mean, there's not much you can do with this anyway. It doesn't matter what my hair looks like. Nobody wants to fuck me, so I'm just gonna kind of keep it like this and save myself the money.
And you can wash your hair, Damon. You're allowed to wash it.
Yeah. I grapple wash it. Yeah.
Is that a weird question?
No, I love Matt's questions. I mean, can you fly or does it fall off in the plane?
Yeah. No, I probably shower 2 to 3 times a day, so it's held up pretty good. You know,
well, congratulations. You're just winning in
life.
Yes,
sir.
And you're not even a short gentleman. You got all the – I mean, you got a great single. Look at you, Damon. What is that? Who's next? Who is next for you? We want a name. The world wants a name.
I know, man. I would like to be an asshole and just sit here and call people out, but I know, like, you know, like I'm sitting right outside of the top 15. I can't really sit here and call anybody out. I would love to fight Bryce Mitchell. That would be amazing. Me and Bryce Mitchell up in Oklahoma would be amazing. That would be like a number one. Number two, probably be like Julian Arosa or someone in that top 20 mix, you know, that right outside the top 15. And then after, I don't give a shit. Like when I say I don't care, like I truly don't care.
Yep.
Anybody at 45, anybody at 55, I'm going to take the fight.
You know, I'm thinking of you and Bryce Mitchell, and that would be a grappler's delight.
That would be a 3-round stand-up battle. We would like, that would be Country Boys throwing down, like that would be a money matchup.
Do you think that when you guys, sometimes when people expect two guys to do one thing, who do we just talk about that said that it cancels each other out and it winds up, there's no takedown? Like
Michael Venom Page and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, we were talking about that.
Yes, with Michael. Yeah. And sometimes guys don't react the way everyone thinks they're going to because they're both respectful of what the other guy can do.
I think it only works if you have two grapplers going against each other, because if you have two strikers going against each other, they never really open up. And so I think the two grapplers striking is better than two strikers trying to grapple. Like, they don't know what they're doing. So it's like there's an art to that. And I think that the two grapplers that respect each other enough to where you're not really going to, like, go for every shot, it ends up being way, way more entertaining of a fight. So I would love to fight that fight. And I think he's down with that. You know, I had tried to step in at short notice for him a few times because his opponents fell out. So I was trying to step in on multiple occasions, and you know, I actually messaged him. We had a couple of exchanges back and forth, and I know he's down to fight, but I know my place right now. I can't sit here and call someone out in the top 10, but if I could get that matchup, it'd be huge.
Well, Damon, let's promote, before we let you go, I want to promote your gym. I think it's great. And you have you're not just training fighters, right? You have just regular people who go there and train.
Mainly it's not fighters. Like I have MMA class at 1 p.m. like right now, and I have another instructor, Steven Ocho Peterson. He's actually doing my classes here too. So I have classes in the daytime for MMA, and then at night it's my kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, and the kids class. So,
well, that's great, man. And congratulations on a really impressive win against a very, very tough opponent, and you clearly won. So 30-27. I don't know how that guy, there's got to be judges. They literally have to put judges in a room with 10 other judges that watch the fight and go, this guy, we get it, or this guy can't be a judge again, because fighters work too hard to get fucked. I know you got to finish fights, but that ain't right. That's not right.
No, it isn't right. There's definitely got to be some kind of criteria there or some education with the judges, because I think that they honestly – the reason I lost the Billy Q fight was because he had a bigger crowd scene there than I did. And I really think that that's why he beat me, because I feel like I won that fight as well. And, you know, like, I'm not going to sit here and be bitter about that, but, you know, like, he had the crowd behind him for sure. Like, when they were cheering his name. So, I think that the judges kind of pick up on things like that. And, you know, they're just not educated.
They're people. Yeah. Well, listen, good talking to you, man. And congratulations. A great win. That was just an incredible fight, and you certainly deserved it. So, thank you for coming on. Love to talk to you again sometime.
Tell Safe we said hello. Sure. Also, please.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, Damon. Have a good one. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Later.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's, too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah. He really seems like a very grounded guy.
The leech is a good nickname.
It's a great nickname, Matt. It's a great nickname. No. So wait, are you thinking about getting hair? I don't think you need it. You look like this is just you.
Absolutely not. I look like an asshole with hair.
And without.
excuse me?
No, I said no. Me, I got to get some too.
Oh, I thought you said and without.
Never.
You mean to me sometimes. I like to shave my head sometimes multiple times a day. It's relaxing.
You do.
I do it in the shower, in my steam shower.
Is it an electric shaver you have or a razor?
No. Bic. Just a straight up those disposable razors, but I get some life out of them. And it's just, it's so smooth, my head. I have a nice head to be bald. And
you do.
What makes it nice is my facial hair. I have a nice Manscaped shout out. I don't even know
if it's
anymore. But, you know, this feels nice. I go over this. I like to keep it tight. And just like my leg lock. I went to do a stack, and when they widen the leg, I put my foot under that butt cheek. I go like I'm going to bring my knee over, like it's going to hit the floor, and I sit through for a straight knee bar. I showed that today.
I'm not at that point yet.
Yeah, well, you know, you're off to a little trot.
A little bit. Working on the Dars today and the Kimura and guillotines.
I'm a Kimura man. And an ass man.
Yes,
I went to Austin, and I had such a good time. And then that night, I was going to go see to the Mothership to watch some comedy. But I ordered. But by the time I got back to the hotel, I ordered Uber Eats because I didn't like the menu. Sorry. And the food got there within a half an hour, and we had to leave. And I go, John Dean. Man down. My ass is taking me out.
You were tired. Yeah,
I want to go watch Shane Gillis. I want to giggle. I like to laugh. And I want to see Joe's new place, the little boy, the big room.
It's great. It's a great club.
Fat man, little boy. I want to see all that shit.
Great club.
So, I mean, I'm sitting there watching it in my hotel room anyway. So my basement flooded.
Ah.
Yeah, there's something going on in the back of my house where there's like a down my basement, like steps. On the outside, there's a drain, and it's just overflowing, and it overflowed into my basement door. And it's still my buddy Nino, Royal Flush. He has Royal Flush plumbing service. He got
that's a great name. Yeah,
that from Easy Money. We get that. Not a lot of people would get that. He's got the van just like it too. He's fucking hysterical.
That's funny. Funny movie. I love it.
Nino is one of my black belts. Jimmy, he's your size, and you'd love him because he strangles. And dude, I think he's your exact size and age. And he strangles the fucking guys over 200 pounds.
Yeah.
So you love Nino. So anyway, he's got that pump going for over 48 hours, man. He wanted to see if something happened with my pool. It's weird that this happened right after the earthquake. Like, you know what I mean?
Did it knock something loose, maybe? Yeah.
Man, because it never happened before, but there's water nonstop coming out. He's pumping it out. I'll just let you know my day.
Yeah.
So I got to see what's going on. But you know what I look at? I had mats in my basement, ruined, fucking ruined. So I'm thinking this is an idea where I wanted to do my basement over anyway. Now we're going to get this thing fixed.
Yeah.
Here we go. I got to scratch my back. You want me to get off the thing and do it? I got to scratch it on the chair.
Just scratch it however you want.
I got to take my shirt off and do it.
Ah, please. I'd prefer you do it on camera. I am really looking forward. We should do – did we do – you said we should save our picks for Wednesday's show. We might even do more picks than normal this time. Why not? This card is so fucking crazy and stacked. Did we have any – I mean, for people who want to see this, it's like looking in your yard and seeing a bear wander in and scratches back on the tree. Oh, my God. This should be the promo for the episode.
Leave me alone, dog. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, that is a good feeling, though. Scratching your back is a good feeling.
Oh, I got it. I forget that I'm not fat. I can do it with my hand.
Yeah.
Oh.
And did we have any picks for this last? Maybe we didn't. Were there any picks done?
Holy shit, what is that? Jimmy. Oh, I'm sorry. It's my arm.
Now, they're saying we should wait, Matt. Do you think we should do a couple of extra picks? Like, I mean.
Jimmy. What? Buddy? What? You what? You what?
Yeah.
I'm curious. Let's do some picks.
Let's Jimmy, do a couple because I think we can do a bunch.
I got patience, but you got to start acting your age.
I know. I understand. I understand.
Dude, I feel like you enraged the Hulk. I think that you got me. It's almost like you got me angry. Talk me down.
Don't be so angry, Hulker.
You're not exactly Scarlett Johansson. All right, let's go.
Let's see.
Oh, wait, Jimmy, what did you say? Did you just hold on? Let me read the text I got from you. Matt, congrats. Yesterday was April 7th. 17 years ago, you shocked the world. Your favorite partner, Jimmy. Jimmy!
Yes.
Thank you. That's a shame. I wore George St. Pierre on April 7th, 17 years ago. Stop in. Embarrassing me.
I know. I just sent you another text here just to follow up. I'm so happy.
Jimmy,
yes.
I like that you tell me that your asshole itches.
Well, I just wanted to let you know.
First of all, if there's ever a time for TMI. It's now.
I apologize.
Well, you know, Jimmy, I don't need to know that.
You're right.
Mine does not. Hey, listen, I went to my my wife's cousins, Maria, her and Anthony. They had a engagement party over at King Umberto's. You know, it's kind of you know, torturous when you're eating gluten free and you go
sure, hard.
And no one else is torturous. I'm in shape. I usually like to wear my shirt out, but my wife wanted me to tuck it in. So that's funny. So I wore my pants. I tucked it in to look really nice. I usually like it out because when I have to use the bathroom, tucking it back, it's annoying for me. Anyway, the whole night, I'm worried about my ass. So it like bothered me.
Sure. It's
like I'm like, there's one stall in the place. And I know why I thought about this because you talk about itchy assholes. The whole night, I always go commando. Always. Oh, Jimmy, I don't own underwear, hardly. I have some MeUndies that I got from sponsorship. So I wore MeUndies only because everything's so tight. You don't want to be weird. And you know, I feel like I got a pick, though. I got a wedgie.
Honestly, on the plane, I always fly commando. They're annoying sometimes. Yeah.
What is the point?
But I dribble piss. We have Jim Miller in the waiting room, by the way. I do dribble piss, so I have to wear underpants a lot.
All right, let's listen to me. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have such a good time.
I can't wait to this is the second fight of the night, which and this fight has been, I mean, this is the fourth time they've tried this fight. So I know Jim is probably just, you know, I'll believe it when it happens type of thing, but I'm really, really happy that this is Wow, he's got 26 wins in the UFC.
Can I say that can I just tell you that right now you're at 7 wins, 14 losses.
I'm at
12 wins and 9 losses. Can I say I like the pitcher? Oh, well, let's talk to Jim Miller first.
The great Jim Miller. Legend.
Let's make sure he hears us first.
Hey, Jim.
You hear the word
hey, legend, how you guys
doing? Legend? Jim!
How's it going, guys?
Warrior, good. So good to see you. It looks like you're about to go shoot some geese or something. Where are you?
I'm outside the gym. I just got done with the drilling session.
Now, UFC 100, you fought on that. UFC 200, you fought on that. Now we have UFC 300. There's no other person on the planet that can say they fought on those three cards. This is amazing. How are you feeling about that? I want to know that first, and then I got a follow-up question.
I feel great. I threw out the idea of fighting on UFC 300 a couple years ago now. And it was just kind of one of those, like, hey, it's a long-term goal. Let's see if we can get there. It was probably like 2020, maybe 2019 even. And now that I'm here, it's like, yeah, the ability to say that I'll be the only person, you know, ever to fight on these three cards is pretty cool. But honestly, the fact that I'm still competing and competing well and finishing opponents, like that means more to me than anything. So, I had said it in the lead up to this, like if they had given me the opportunity to like main event that Athletic Seed card, maybe I would have taken that instead. But we're here, we're feeling good, and I'm ready to go.
And Jim, and what you said is right. This is not just his legacy is so good, let's give it to you've won 5 out of 6 fights decisively. Like really, you still look great. And this is one of the more exciting fights on the card. You against Bobby Green. And Bobby's a very exciting fighter. This is like, I think the fourth time you guys are trying to make this happen.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you kind of, I'll believe it when I see it feeling right now? Like once we're in the cage, I know it's happening.
Yeah, kinda, you know, listen, I had 3 fights in a row where I had new opponents come in. So, at this point, yeah, I've got more fights than anybody in the UFC, you know, ever, but I probably have more opponent changes than anybody else as well. Maybe it's because of that. Right. But, listen, we tried to make it almost a decade ago. It didn't happen. And then recently in 2021, 2022, we tried it again. And, 2 out of those 3 times I was able to get another opponent. It's great. You know, honestly, the in 2022, when I had the opportunity to avenge the loss against Cerrone and beat him to take the most wins in the UFC title, you couldn't have scripted it better. So, shit happens in this sport, man. So, I've been watching him for a long time. He's a heck of a fighter. He's got a unique style. And I can't wait to, be locked inside the octagon with him. And we're going to make our mark on this, epic card.
Now, how much at this stage of the game, you have so much experience. You're fighting a guy like Bobby Green, how much is game planning at this point, or how much is going there just fighting him? You're such a well-rounded guy. It's other guys, you'd be like, all right, look, Bobby Green, those hands, we got to get him down. Or, like, I don't know. I don't feel with your skill set that you're really outgunned. Like, you could hang in there any way you want to go. How much is it is game planning, and how much is it just going in there, seeing how it goes?
For me personally, most of the preparation and getting to camp is about being healthy and being in shape. I worry less about what my opponent brings to the table at this point, because I have seen just about everything, he's got a unique style. And it does frustrate other fighters, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just too stupid. I don't usually get frustrated in there, like it's a fight, we're going to try to punch each other in the face and kick each other and choke each other. And, it's never bothered me anything that my opponents do in there. So, I just look at it as like, hey man, I've had the last, couple months to get ready for this. And, I'm firing on all cylinders, and, and ready to go. And no matter what he does, you know, like, and I'm going to be prepared for it. And that's the crazy part too, right? Is that, like, we're professional athletes. We could change, you know, give us a couple months. We could change. We could do new stuff, you know? So, like, I don't fixate myself on what somebody was 6 months ago.
Wouldn't it be great if he changed and just jumped guard on you?
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be
different. Oh, what is that? Oh, he changed.
I'm looking at your record, Jim, too. And you talk about staying healthy. Since 2008, it looks like you had a minimum of 2 fights a year. You've had a lot of 4 fight years. Like, you really have stayed incredibly healthy. So if you've gotten hurt, you've done it at strategic times. What's the longest you've been out? Because it seems like you have not had a break in 16 years.
I think the longest I was out was pushing about 10 months. I think it was between the first Cerrone fight and I think it was Dariush I fought after that. And that wasn't even really like injury. That was kind of, I got shelved. You know, they're like, hey, I was asking for a fight. They're like, we got a card in Newark in, you know, 5 months. And I was like, I can fight once in between there. That's fine.
Sure.
And I didn't get that opportunity. So, there's definitely been the bumps and bruises. I do have injuries. I do have nagging stuff. But, you know, I've been lucky enough that I've been able to avoid the super devastating ones. And, using what smarts that I do have has helped in that as well. You know, like I don't like making mistakes twice. So I really avoid doing stupid stuff in the gym. I think one of the biggest things that has helped me, and honestly, I think it kind of is the only reason I'm here today, is that I opened my own place in 2014. You know, I don't think that I would have gotten through Lyme disease had I been training at somebody else's gym. If I had somebody like coaching me and driving me, and you know, it's important to have that. It's necessary sometimes to have somebody like on you to push hard these rounds and this and that. But I consider myself very coachable, and there are a lot of days where I couldn't do it. And if I had somebody trying to drive me into that and, you know, make the most out of one of my bad days, I probably would have hurt myself. So, opening this place up, and, you know, I ended up selling a couple of years ago, but it's Jim Fitzpatrick, who I sold to, good buddy of mine, one of my training partners, cornered me in the last fight. Awesome dude, kept the same culture. It's an amazing place. And, I just try to keep it tight and not have to worry about those wild cards that come into some of the big gyms sometimes trying to make a name for themselves.
What made you not want to keep it for yourself and sell it to your friend?
Just the all the nonsense, man. You know, like I enjoy teaching. I do. But I've been competing so much, right? Like that. I really want to coach guys who are trying to fight at the most elite level, and to run a successful gym, you know, you have to cater to the average person,
regular people. Yeah.
And, I love regular people. I do. There's some of the sides of, running the business, teaching the jiu-jitsu, teaching the Thai and all that stuff that you have to almost water it down a little bit, I think is the appropriate way to put it. I find that I get more into teaching like the self-defense side when it's like, hey, like I can be legit with people and be like, you know, yeah, if you do that, you're going to get your teeth knocked in, you know, yeah. Or out, right? however you want them to go. They're going to go one way or the other, and sometimes in even an advanced jiu-jitsu class, you can't always do that with people. So being able to just focus on fighting too. As I've gotten older, that's one of the things that I've noticed is like when I'm in fight camp, I have time and energy for, you know, training and recovery and my family. And it's really, really difficult for me at this point to throw something else in there, throw running a gym in there, or, you know, starting one of these other businesses or something like that. So it's, I think for the time being, yeah, it's just better for me to focus on the fight camp when it's time to do that, and not have anything else, you know, hanging over my head.
And with, I'm sure we've talked to you about it before too, with Lyme disease, how long did it take you before you felt clear of that? And was the main feeling, was it pain, or was it just pure exhaustion, or what was it that made it so hard to train?
It was a lot of both of those, you know? So, I went undiagnosed for a few years. You know, I had the initial symptoms of Lyme came in, and like, I'm not a type to get headaches, and I ended up getting a bunch of migraines, like 7 in 10 days or something goofy like that. Had like severe nausea and stuff. So I actually went to a neurologist. We ran blood tests. We tested me for Lyme, ended up coming back negative. And, that was in May or June of 2013. And it went all the way to early 2016, when I was finally diagnosed. And at that point, I mean, the joint pain was severe. I could be in the middle of rounds, having been warmed up and all that stuff, and I'd have to stand up like an old man, put my hand on my knee to get up. I couldn't lift or sprint. Anything like anaerobic would kick my butt. You know, I was having like neurological issues, essentially. Like Lyme creates a plaque in your brain, much like the plaque that is associated with Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, wow.
So honestly, it sucks, but it's like, yeah, there's periods of like 2015 and early 16 that I don't have a lot of memories of, you know, like I remember stuff way before that. It was cemented in there. I just can't access those things. And, you know, as a father who, you know, my son was born in April of 15, it's like, I don't really remember him as a baby all that much, you know, and it hurts, you yeah. know, to try to recall some of that stuff. And sometimes I can, but I can see all my other kids as babies a lot easier than I can my Sawyer. And, you know, that's the one that really gets to me, you know? Yeah, like after the diagnosis, the joint pain went away pretty quickly. The brain fog kind of lifted a couple weeks. That neural fatigue was the biggest thing, the anaerobic stuff. It took me a couple of years changing my diet, really being super good about supplementation, and then on my medication. It was probably like early 2018 where I felt like I could finally, like, you know, load a bar or hop on the treadmill and do some sprints or something like that, and not be like super banged up from it.
And here you are years later fighting. It's crazy, right? Yeah. Right. Just still fighting.
Now, when you turned the corner, how did it feel with that? You're like, oh my God, I'm back. I'm getting, how did it feel when you started realizing,
you know,
still a superhero?
It felt great. It felt great to be able to train like I had always trained, but like, there I was, like, I almost feel like my career has been 4 different, you know, chapters at this point. Like, there's the pre-Lyme, you know, coming in strong, fighting to my strengths, outworking guys who were probably better fighters than me. And then it's like the Lyme period where I felt like shit. I trained like shit, you know, and then, I mean, that first couple of years, first two, yeah, probably to maybe a little bit of 2.5 years of like coming out of Lyme. Now I'm a 35-year-old lightweight, you know, and that's not easy. so like, now I got to figure out, like, okay, I can't go back to the old, even though I feel like I can train like I used to, I can't go back to that because I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not the 27-year-old guy, you know, I'm 35, 36 years old. So yeah, it took a little time for me to figure out how to prepare myself in the best way and also kind of compete in the best way. And you know, I've had a lot of help and a lot of support along the way. But I really feel like the probably like 2021 is when things started to, like, all right, now I've got it, you know. And that's like, yeah, I'm 38 years old or 37 years old in the early 2021. But it's like, yeah, now I know how to fight like an old man, right? Like I figured it out. So here we are, you know, on this this last run, and I'm gonna try to make this as long and epic as I can.
Yeah, Jim. Look, I mean, everyone loves you. You're one of the fan favorites for you know, just years and years and years now. You deserve this card. We're very happy for you.
Thank you.
And again, it's a great opponent. Bobby Green is a fun guy to watch fight. And I'm sure you guys have a mutual respect. I'm sure you know each other after all these years. You know, the fourth time is a charm, and it's happening. So have a great fight, man. And we're really happy you're on this. And I cannot wait for this night.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, Jim. All our best, Warrior.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Hall of Famer, the great Jim Miller. Thank you, Jim.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Awesome. Isn't he great?
He is great.
Yeah.
So, listen, Jimmy, fun show. Really, let's talk really quick about the couple of guys that won. I mean, again, Chris Curtis took the fight on short notice, but Brendan Allen showed up. He won that fight. Props, props, props. And then we had Damon Jackson on. It was nice to get to know him in the co-main.
Yeah. Really great job. 30-27, an egregious fuck up by a judge. Again, I thought he won 29-28. The third round, I thought Hernandez dropped him, even though he, I think he finished on top of Hernandez, but still.
The very first fight, Nora Cannoli.
Let me see if I have the card.
Nora Cannoli. That's not Cannoli. It's Cannoli.
Against Melissa Mullins, yep.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
She was in beast mode, man. She's a hell of a striker because Melissa Mullins didn't have a loss up until that point. You know, she handed our first loss.
Yeah, she was 6-0.
All right. You don't know else you want to talk about that?
No. It was great.
I thought it was great. That was nice. Nice fucking fight. And Cesar Almeida, I'll tell you, man, he looked good because Dylan Budka got Cesar on his Budka early. He didn't stay there.
No,
not Cesar. No.
No, I know.
He got up. Why are you making that? I was going to go to the little boy or the fat room, and I was going to go in there and be like, "Hey, Mullins." I don't know. Listen. So anyway, Cesar. Jimmy, I'm not. You're the comedian. I'm just your silly friend.
But basically, what you're saying is that Cesar really conquered Dylan. You know what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He did. What else do we got?
Hey, look, Alex Morono over our friend Court McGee. You know, good fight. Close fight, 29-28. You know, congratulations,
Charlie
Alex.
Charlie Campbell in the squad from Long Island, from Lore MMA. I saw Dylan Mattiello. I fucked up his last name.
That's okay.
Dylan the Quiet Man was in the corner. Yeah. He's a good fighter, you know. And so was Austin. These guys are all over at Longo's. Eric Haya. But Charlie Campbell and Trevor Peak was a – that was good, man. That was a good fight. Charlie won. The Cannibal won.
Yeah.
Good times, man. What else?
I feel very good. And, you know, I just, do you want to do a couple of picks for next week? We should do a lot more picks than just two or three. We want to do a couple. I mean, we're on the, no, because I'm also taking the chance on losing and getting further behind.
Let's do it.
Where do you want to start? I mean, every single piece of this card is good.
Yeah, I'm on next show. Do we know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You're going to tell us right now. Ready? Like a magic break. 3, 2.
Oh, Hill and Prohaska. That's great.
That's nice, man.
Yeah, the main fight of the prelims, and of course.
What do you want to pick?
What's that?
We can pick every damn fight. I don't know. Why don't we start at the early prelims and do a couple of those, man? Because that's
sure. I'm with you. You want to start with Figueiredo Cody Garbrandt? Huh.
Now, do we go with our head or our heart?
You got to go with your head. I mean, I always go with my heart, Matt, and that's why a lot of times I make mistakes.
Here's the thing. I'm a jiu-jitsu man, and I love Figueiredo's jiu-jitsu. But I like Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm going to go with him.
Okay.
That head over heart, that heart over head. I will tell you this. Turn on your heart light. Hold on, Jim.
No.
Let it shine wherever you go. I wish I knew the rest of those words because I'd
fucking glad you don't. Now, Figueiredo, how are you taking Cody?
I'm gonna say by decision, because I think Figueiredo's jiu-jitsu, if he gets knocked down, he has a good guard, and I can see him getting knocked down and maybe Cody not follow him the guard, which I recommend. And Cody by decision.
I'm gonna take Davison.
Sprawling and brawling. I should have just let you keep talking.
Nah, that's okay. It was well worth the wait. I'm happy you said it. I'm going to take Davison Figueiredo. I'll take Davison by a second round stoppage.
All right. Come on, Cody. I'm with you.
I love Cody. Now, Jim Miller, of course, Bobby Green. Tough fight to pick.
Son of a bitch. We just had him on here. You're picking against him.
No.
I can, as a guy that just knows him for so long. I think that'd be horrible. But yet I like Bobby too. I can't go against
him. Like both of these guys. I'm going to take.
Go ahead.
Bobby is so good at staying away from things. It's going to be hard for me to take Jim by submission. But I think I'll take. I'll take Jim Miller by decision.
You know what? Bobby's coming off a brutal loss.
To Jalen Turner, yeah.
Yes. So that means he's due for a win. I'll take Bobby by decision.
Okay.
All right.
Marina Rodriguez, Jessica Andrade. What has Jessica done in her last couple of fights? She won her last fight, didn't she? Or am I a fucking idiot? I guess he'll let us. I can just look that up.
Marina Rodriguez is tough too, though, man.
Yes, she is. Hold on, buddy. I'm looking up Jessica Andrade. Apologies to the audience for listening to this. We didn't actually plan on doing this today. Let's see what Jessica did in her last couple of fights.
I'm going to take Jessica Andrade.
She knocked out McKenzie. That's right.
You know, because she's coming off that win. I like Marina Rodriguez, though. I think she's
tough. Me too.
Style-wise, I think Jessica Andrade can get it done with a second-round TKO.
Okay, and...
who do you pick? I see you. I see you over there.
I think you... I kind of think you're right, but instead, I'm going to take Marina Rodriguez by decision.
Okay. Do you want to do more about Jalen Turner versus...
Renato
Moicano. It means no worries. Renato Moicano. What are these noises? You don't like it, you can just don't have to say it.
I like. You're right. I should hush.
Maybe I'm sorry. You can do what you want. You don't deserve this. You've been radio for 30 years. You don't deserve this.
Turner against Moicano.
Yes.
Ah, boy, another tough fight to pick.
Today, Junior.
I'm going to take Jalen Turner. I'm sure he's going to be confident off that amazing win over Bobby Green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
I'm going with Renato Moicano.
How?
So known as Money Moicano. And I'm going to say rear naked choke, second round. Rear naked choke. I like to sing sometimes.
I know you do. You like to sing a lot.
Jolly little fellow who likes to be bald. I'm not getting no tan transplant.
I'm going to take
All right.
Turner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Take Turner. First round stoppage.
Ike Turner?
Actually, no. Second round stoppage, not first round.
All right, good. I got an auto for the second round. Rear naked choke.
All right, so we picked a few of the prelims.
Jimmy, I need my wife ordered me on a gluten-free everything bagel, pastrami with Swiss. I think I'm going to eat it now.
Let me promote this Wednesday, Fat Black Pussycat here in New York. It sells out every week, so if you want to come, go to the Comedy Cellars website. It's a 7 p.m. show. Friday night, I'll be in Saratoga Springs. Early show sold out. Late show might be sold out, too, or there's 8 tickets left. And then Saturday night, unfortunately, I will be in Annapolis, Maryland. I love Annapolis, but I'm going to have to watch the card backstage. So this Saturday, come see me at the Ram's Head. And tonight, I did Kill Tony when I was at the Mothership, and it's a really it's a crazy fucking episode. It was supposed to be me. Alone, and then a little while into the episode, Rogan and Tucker Carlson came by and just came on, and it was really great. So it was definitely the craziest episode I've done of Kill Tony. Really, really fun.
Hey, if they want to check out me, that's awesome. I want to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good one. I recommend it. Kill Tony's great.
If you want, I'm like, you know, the only other podcast I'll be plugging besides you and your wife doing Sword Fight.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Jim Norton, what is it?
Nikki and Jim NYC Sword Fight, and yeah.
All right. I'm on the latest. I think we talked about it before. I'm on the latest, one of the latest JREs, the Joe Rogan podcast, and that's fun too.
Okay. Yeah, it's the MMA show.
Yes, the MMA one.
So people know what to look for, yeah. And I'm sure it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was fun. Myself, Dean Thomas, and John Rollo. We had a good time. We're going to be on there again. What a blast that was. And Jimmy, this was always fun. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Yes, thank you, Damon. And thank you to the great Jim Miller. And Matt, I'll talk to you Wednesday, buddy.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, guys. You're welcome. You're welcome, folks, for entertaining you.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.